We have Tim Middleton with us here, and we're going to be discussing Beyond the Curriculum. Now, this is a new segment that we have, and it's very interesting. We had him last week and before that, and we want to get to know about the education system in Zimbabwe, and he is the Executive Director of the Association of Trust Schools, ATS. So you definitely want to tune in, plug in, and get to listen to this interview. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm very well, thank you, Valerie. I hope the same for you.
Yes, I'm well, thank you. And we're connecting with you today over the phone. You're not with us in studio. How is it where you are?
Would you believe the sun is shining here in Wales? But so it's not exactly warm, but the sun is shining. Thank you.
That's lovely. That's really lovely. Now, Tim, if you remember last week, we were talking about the curriculum. We're talking about education. And you mentioned the Big Five, right? We spoke about that. And we want to talk a bit more about that, but looking at sport. Because sport is a big deal. And I did ask you a question last time, and I said maybe it seems like a lot of Group A schools focus on sport. And Tatenda.
Yeah. I also wanted Tim to know that Val is not alone today.
Exactly. Tim and I in our own world were like Tatenda.
Yeah.
So could you please talk more about sport and
the
importance of sport when it comes to education. Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, thank you for that opportunity. As we say, there are five parts to education, I believe, and they're all integral, especially the sport. And, one of the things we say is that school is for learning. I think no one disagrees with that. We're saying sport is integral to education. I believe we talk about co-curricular rather than extracurricular. Extracurricular implies, yeah, if you feel like it, that's fine. We're saying no. What happens in the afternoon in sport and in the cultural activities, they are they're integral to education. So if sport is for learning and sport is integral to education, then we're saying that sport is for learning.
Right.
That's why we do sport at school. Now, we tend to think that it's, especially when it comes to fixtures, that it's about winning. And we're trying to say no, it's much more than that. We're saying education is for all, and we're saying sport is integral to education. Well, therefore, that means that sport is for all. It's not just for the talented kids or the elite ones or the ones we might like.
So, Tim.
And then,
So I understand that part of the reasons why you're doing this is to obviously a healthy mind in a healthy body as well. Confirm.
Absolutely. There are five reasons we do sport at school, and you pick up. I like my Big Five, and the Big Five reasons for sport are five F's. One is it's for fun. It's for fun. It's meant
Absolutely.
To be fun. And unfortunately, we take it too seriously at times, and it's not always fun for the children when parents are betting on matches, as happens when they are determining the worth of their child almost by their attitude. It's meant for fun. The second reason is, and you alluded to it, Tadeda, it's for fitness. We all need to be fit, healthy body, healthy mind. Third reason is that it's for friends. It's a chance for us to meet up with engage with people from our own school and from other schools. Mm-hmm. Too often, though, when we're playing matches, the coach says, right, think about the game. As soon as you're off the bus, think about the game. There's no chance to meet their friends from other schools. Then after the game, there's the post-match huddle, and then they're off to it's for friends. It's for them to enjoy. And that's why we as adults will enjoy playing sport. You meet up with other people. So the three Fs so far, the fun, fitness, friends. The fourth one I would say is forever. That's why it's meant to be forever. And you see, again, one of the things we say is education is for life. Mm-hmm. And we're saying sport is integral to education. Therefore, sport is for life. And it is intended. It's not just a matter of keeping the kids occupied and busy at school. It should be, hey, this is a life lessons and life significance. We need to be fit when we are when we've left school. The sad thing for me is that 90%, I would say, of children who leave our schools give up sport as soon as they leave school. And that's where I think we fail, partly because we are just pushing all the time about the winning. So those are the four F's, and the five F's, the big five of sport that I would throw out is, and you might pick me up here, but it is values, and and you'll tell me that's not an F, but
I was
V
about to say
a
V.
That's a V.
All right. If you know your phonetics, a V is a hard F. So I'll try and get in there, but
V's a hard F.
All right, so Tim, before we go to the 2020 headlines, just a recap. You said it's for fun, it's for fitness, it's for family, it's for the V, which is values, and you mentioned forever. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, why do you think 90% of I think you managed to explain that a little bit of the people that take sports in school then leave sport? Is it because it was too competitive? Is it because of other factors that may come into play? Why is it? Because the fitness, the values, the fun, and forever has to continue even after school, right?
Absolutely. And that's the whole point of it, surely. The whole point of it is not the winning. You know, and when we play fixtures, you know, and I'll come back to that point, but when we play fixtures, it's a competitive world, and the children need to learn how to be competitive. We play team sports because they need to learn about collaboration. But the reason we have fixtures is to see, they are like an examination, to see whether the children have learned lessons. And therefore, what we have to understand is that the fixtures are not for the parents' entertainment. It's not for the coach's ego. It's not for the school's reputation. It's for the kids' learning. And they need to learn whether they're winning or they're losing. We don't go out deliberately to lose, but we need to learn lessons from that. And therefore, that's why I think the kids give up because we push them. And it's all about the winning, and it's all about beating this school. It's all about training and fitness. And for some, they will go on. But actually, there's a lot that we should be saying. You should be enjoying this so much that you want to continue, as well as we need to be telling them that you need to continue. I'm not going to ask whether you guys are playing sport, but it doesn't have to be sport at a high level. It can be social. It can be just exercise.
Okay.
But surely the point of it that we're saying they're doing it at school is there is a reason, and it applies to life as well.
This is Beyond the Curriculum, and we're with Tim Middleton. We're talking about education, and he was putting a lot of emphasis on sport, and he told us about the big five. Now, there's an article that you wrote, Tim, a sports article, and I know you've got many of these articles, and it's called Never Work with Animals or Children. So there's something interesting. You talk about sports. You refer to how teachers are meant to coach children that do sport, sports teams, but at the same time, why is it that schools get coaches from outside to come and coach the children? Could you please expand a little bit more on that?
Yeah, sure. It's understandable. When I was growing up and as a young teacher, most teachers played sports. They had gone through that. They were trained in coaching it as well as in teaching. Over the years, a lot of our current teachers have never had opportunities to play sport and therefore never really trained in that. So schools have to go out and find external assistance coaches from outside.
Mm-hmm.
My concern there is that A, they aren't necessarily trained in handling children. You know, a teacher trains for 3 years, 4 years in order to know how to work with children, and yet we may be bringing in coaches who are very good with adults perhaps, but children is very, very different. Plus, coaching in a club where it's all about the winning and the league table and whatever, is very different from coaching in sport, where we're trying to say they are, the children are there to learn lessons. Lessons about that particular sport, skills, tactics and the like, mm-hmm. but also lessons about life. And that is what they, I believe, they really should be focusing on. The values that we mentioned as one of the Fs, and okay, the values, those are the values that coaches need to be instilling in the youngsters mm-hmm. week by week. And just as an examination, and teachers have lessons and then they have a test or an exam, the children are left on their own in the exam. You're on your own. You don't get teachers at the side of the hall shouting, the answer to number 3 is 16, write it down. Well, it's the same way that coaches have practices through the week and then they play the fixture. Then the youngsters need, it's an exam. And so they should be allowing the youngsters to play, to learn, for the coach to see where they have learned anything or not. Whereas my concern is we see all the coaches, the side of the field, what I call the PlayStation coaches, they're moving the children around, shouting, go here, mark there, tackle this, do that. The kids are listening to and being moved around by the coach instead of the coach really getting them to think about the game themselves mm-hmm. and to learn the lessons from that. So there's a danger that we're extremely grateful for those coaches who are assisting from outside. I believe we need to take seriously, and in particular from safeguarding issues, that the values of the school are exemplified in the behavior of the coaches, and the values that the school is in seeking to endeavor to instill in the youngsters is modeled by them, is explained by them. And that really is why, it's tough working with kids.
Absolutely. And, Tim, Do you think, how do we rectify this whole thing where, of course, there are coaches that are going to come in, they've had experience at a club level, and they're coming in to coach in schools. Is there not a need to particularly train them to handle children, or at least go take them through a course of how to deal with kids, how the expectations that they have as well? Is there not need for that?
And I would agree with you entirely. Absolutely. The difficulty is, and the schools will endeavor to try to do it, that these are folk who are giving up their time, their free time. Sometimes it may be paid, otherwise it may be doing it voluntarily. They're busy and they are probably going to be saying, I don't have time to go on a course for this. I'm giving of myself for you. And we should be grateful for that. But yeah, the need is... within each school, really, to help them understand what is your role here. I think sometimes they may be left on their own, and you know, the two things is that are my concern is that, and I'll be blunt and controversial here, and folk may not like what I say, but the sport is not for the school's reputation. Whether we win or lose, actually, it should not be affecting our reputation. And yet, sadly, a lot of people look at a school and think, well, if they're winning this, and it's in particular in one sport, maybe, if we're winning there, then we must be a great school. And actually, if we're winning at first team level, forget all the other teams. But there's a danger then that we are just doing things for the school's reputation, whereas I believe it should all be for A, the child's education, and B, for the country's development. You know, we need 20 strong schools if we want Zimbabwe sport to be strong, not 6 or 4. So we need to, for them to be playing tough opposition each week, not the same people each week, and not their way. So we need to, we need to train them, we need to develop them, we need to, you know, one of the other things is I believe we need to educate them in terms of how to win and how to lose, and how to handle winning as well as handle losing.
Mm-hmm.
That's moving on to another topic, but
No, but it's a good one, Tim, especially the losing part. I mean, especially when you're growing up and you need to learn to handle losing.
Absolutely.
Rejection and failure.
Mm-hmm. And it starts at a very young age. And Tim, my next question was the parents' involvement in all this, because we've seen parents at the touchline, at a soccer game, at a rugby game, at a cricket game, shouting, you know, supporting super passionately, involved. Super involved. And sometimes you can tell the pressure that the child has based on them just seeing, their looking at their parent after they've maybe did something wrong in the game. How can the parents make this whole process or whole experience wholesome for the child as well?
Again, I would stress that you're absolutely right, and I would answer it by picking up on what we were just touched on. They need to learn how to win, and they need to learn how to lose. They need to learn how to handle winning. Actually, that's much harder than how to handle losing. But we don't really teach that aspect. But the fact is that winning and losing are two sides of the same coin. You know, and sometimes it comes down on one side, sometimes it comes down on another. Okay, it's not a great illustration in Zimbabwe where we don't have coins, but bear with me in that regard. But you know, the value of the coin does not change depending on whether it turns up heads or tails, whether it's success or failure. Children are unfortunately left thinking, and you alluded to it there, in terms of thinking, well, I'm only of any importance if I win. And no, they are the same value. And that is what I think parents maybe don't understand. And again, let me stress too, part of our whole discussion can be in future weeks around this. Parenting's the toughest job in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a few folk there saying amen. But the fact is that there is the vast majority have no training. So in any other job, you have an interview, you apply, you have an interview, you have a CV, you follow through, you have appraisals. In parenting, no qualifications needed, except for limited knowledge of practical biology. There's no interview saying, so tell me, why do you want to become a parent? What can you bring? No, you are a parent. And most of the time, folk don't have any training. So it is difficult. And we need to try to help folk understand how to be a parent, how to help them when it comes to sport. And if they are on the same page as the schools in terms of values, in terms of intent, in terms of the purpose of what is happening in the school, then that I think will enable them far more. So the child, whether they win or lose, they are still of value.
Right.
And that, I think, is perhaps the most important thing that we need to get across.
Absolutely.
You know, just because, they don't get into this school, they don't get into that team. Mm-hmm. So many of the people who have failed in one area succeed far more in others, or they may learn from that. There are so many things the sad thing, I think a lot of the parents think that their reputation is affected by how their child performs.
True.
And it's got nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, you know, that's how they think, what their friends will think. Oh, why do you send your child to that school? Or, oh, your child really messed up, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're still my child, and the child is trying their hardest. The child is learning. And we need to be supporting them in that. And realize that it's about growth. Mm-hmm. Some grow quicker than others. Some are more talented than others. You know, some of us are taller than others. We're not, and that's just by nature. Small people are no less important.
That's
true. Those people who aren't succeeding in academics or sport aren't less important. Mm-hmm. Then we all still have that value, but sadly, there is that perception out there.
Right.
Absolutely.
I was actually thinking, Tim, when it comes to sport, I know when I was in school, I focused more on like clubs, debate club, interact, not too much of sport.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
And then a lot of modeling as well in school, acting, drama club. And I remember a lot of people would probably give my parents advice to say she won't do so well in school because she's focusing too much on this side. From your research, your observations and the statistics, children that focus more on sport, do they do well when it comes to the academic side? Like, are they able to balance?
It's about balance and what you're saying. And the real balance is the big five, all those areas. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of you use the words focus on sport. No, I don't want them to focus purely on sport. Mm-hmm. But those who are involved, you know, and when they're moving from academic to sport to club, the spiritual, mm-hmm. the social side, they are developing as a whole person. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they're developing by when they're not doing well and their whole being and that whole side of it. So it's not a matter of right, everyone must do sport. Mm-hmm. No, everyone, for the rounded character, they should be doing involved in clubs, in sport, in academics, in just in the whole school environment, or being involved in service and the like. And there are one or two schools where the highest honor is when you get colors in academic and sport and clubs. So they are trying to recognize the all-rounder and encourage people in terms of that. So there is, you know, colors is a whole different issue that I have strong views on as well, but that's another day. But there is, we need to see them as a whole person. And fantastic, you were doing clubs, and I'm sure you would benefit from it. It takes you away just a little bit from the academics, takes your mind off it. You can focus on this other area, then you can go back with a fresh mind. Whereas if you try to just slog away at academics moment after moment, hour after hour, yeah, it gets to the point where you're not actually focusing on it.
Yeah.
But take a break. Do something else. It will be huge benefit. It has huge benefit.
It has huge benefit. The name of the segment is called Beyond the Classroom. We'll be doing this every Monday from 10:30 to 11 with Mr. Tim Middleton, CEO of Association of Trust Schools. And sir, thank you so much for your time. Next week, same time, same place, we'll be back with another serious conversation, important conversation about the well-being of the learners, the parents, and everybody that's involved. Yeah.
I look forward to that. I'm very grateful for that.
Thank
I hope you,
Tim.
Have a good week.
Travel safely.
Pleasure.
Bring us something
Thank
from
you.
Wales,
I look forward
please.
To being back.
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll bring. Okay, we'll do that. We'll see you next week.